Good morning, church. The Lord be with you. We welcome you today to the Southminster Presbyterian Church. We are very glad that you are here to worship with us. We want to extend a very warm welcome to any guests who are with us. We welcome you to worship with us and be a part of this very dynamic faith community. We ask everyone to sign the friendship pad, which is at the inside of the pews, and pass it down, and then as it's passed back, you can note the names of those around you and greet them following the service. And we invite everyone to a time of friendship, fellowship, coffee hour out in the narthex and the coffee corner following the service. Several announcements. This week I'm on study leave. Nancy's been on vacation all this week. I think she managed to stay away from the church 6 out of 7 days, so that's encouraging. I encouraged her to stay home and not worry about anything, but you know, things happen, and she was here one morning for a little while. But I will be on study leave this week. My practice has been to go on an annual retreat to the Abbey of Gethsemane in Kentucky. So I will be going down to Kentucky to the Abbey of Gethsemane tomorrow and be there till Friday and then be off next weekend and enjoy some time downtime. As a result, the Wednesday groups studying the grace of Les Miserables will not meet this week. They will resume on May 1st. Next Sunday, we will be honoring graduates. I don't know who the graduates are. I haven't been here long enough, but if you know of any graduates, high school or college, please communicate their names to the church office by tomorrow or as soon as possible. So that we can honor our graduates next Sunday, if we have any. I don't know that we have any, but we'll find out. 2 weeks from today is a very special Sunday. It is Heritage Sunday. There's an insert about it in the bulletin. There will be a potluck luncheon after the service in the Christian Fellowship Center, and you can sign up at the welcome desk as to what dish to share and have it represent your country of your heritage or your country of origin. So that would be a wonderful opportunity. I'm looking forward to having the bagpipes and the tartan banners and all of the festivities of our Presbyterian heritage. And in 3 weeks, on May 12th, Mother's Day, we will have Music Appreciation Sunday, and the choir is very hard at work preparing a beautiful cantata called Festival of Hymns, and that will be a very special Sunday. You'll want to bring mom, you'll want to bring grandma, bring aunts, bring cousins, bring nephews, bring everybody. Just come. This will be a wonderful Sunday to be in church, and it'll be a music service that will be one to remember. I believe we have taken care of all of the announcements. The others in the bulletin you can take note of yourself or on the slides. And again, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us worship God together.
As I light the Christ candle, I invite you at home to light yours. Join me in the call to worship. Our good shepherd has led us to this place. God leads us beside the waters and restores our souls. Even though we walk through the dark valleys, even though we are fearful and in need of comfort, our cup overflows with God's goodness and mercy. We shall dwell in the house of the Lord all lives long.
Thank you.
seated. And join me in the call to worship based on the 23rd Psalm. All right. Prayer of confession. I'm sorry. Compassionate God, you guide us, but we are slow to follow and stubborn. You welcome us to your fold, but we make others feel as if they don't belong. Your voice speaks in the depths of our hearts, but we prefer to hear the voices of discord, fear, and doubt, and affect our world. Forgive our life in alienating ways, our exclusion and judgment, the way we evaluate and compare, demean and degrade. Redeem us, Good Shepherd, restore us. Help us to find our place as faithful members of your flock. Christ forgives, Christ transforms, Christ renews, and Christ, we are a new creation, ready to sing God's glory and testify to God's grace. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Of the peace. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
If you are worshiping at home, we extend the peace of Christ to you. And if you are here today, please pass the peace and greet others as you feel comfortable. Sorry, I'm being a little. Prayer of Illumination. Holy God, Word made flesh, let us come to this Word, open to being surprised. Silence our agendas, banish our assumptions, cast out our casual detachment, confound our expectations, clear the cobwebs from our ears. Penetrate the corners of our hearts with this Word. We know that you can. We pray that you will. We wait with great expectation. Amen. Amen. The scripture reading is Psalm 23 from the Message, a version of the Bible, and we're reading it responsively. God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in right directions. Even when the way goes through the Death Valley, I'm not afraid when you walk by my side. Your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a six-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You recite my prayer. My cup brims with blessings. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life.
Come forward for Melanie to lead them in a few moments of children's message.
Great to see you, my friends. How are you today?
Good.
I think I've finally met most of you, so hopefully I look familiar. All right, so what are these animals here on the steps with you today? Sheep? Lamb? Yes, you're right. Does anyone know? Oh, we've got two more friends coming. Come on. Does anyone know who tends or takes care of sheep? What is that person called? Shepherd? That's right. So a shepherd makes sure that a sheep has food, water, rest, safe from predators, stay on the right path so they don't get lost. Did you know that? Yeah? So just as a shepherd tends their sheep, God tends to us just like we are sheep. As we just heard in the passage, Psalm 23, God makes sure we have everything we need. Food, lush meadows, water, quiet pools to drink from, rest, you let me catch my breath, lead me on the right path, send me in the right direction, comfort from fear, I'm not afraid when you walk by my side. Do you remember hearing those words just a few minutes ago? No, yeah. Well, I repeated them for you, so. Now, the other important message that I find in Psalm 23 is about nature. Did anybody else catch that in Psalm 23? No? Lush meadows, quiet pools to drink from. Yes? You got it, right, Alex? All right, does anyone know what's coming up tomorrow on our calendar in April? Yes, Earth Day. It's a special day every year in April to celebrate our planet. This right here, right? Has anybody seen a globe before? Yes. Okay, so have any of you just laid down in the grass? No blanket, nothing under you, just lay in the grass. Yes? Yeah? Okay, well today we're going to, because we're not in the grass, we're not outside right now, we're going to use our imagination. Can we do this? Can everybody out there do this too?
Sure.
Okay. All right, so everyone go ahead and close your eyes. Take a deep breath in through your nose and out through your nose. Imagine, close your eyes, lying down in a big field of green grass. Just imagine, how does it feel? How does it smell? Think of freshly cut grass, maybe. Now, imagine hearing the sound of a stream, water gently flowing. Maybe you feel a soft breeze. The grass gently tickles your face or your arm as it moves with the wind. Take another deep breath and stay here just for a moment. Now open your eyes. How did that feel to be in nature, even if it was just imagining it?
Tired?
Peaceful? Calming? Who created our earth? Who are now the shepherds to this earth? You, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and me, right? We are. You and me, and every human has a very important job to continue to take care of the planet, right? Okay, so we're going to end with this, with a prayer. Close your eyes, get in your prayer stance, however that is. As God leads us,
beside still waters and green pastures. Let's welcome Earth Day with a thankful heart for all the beauty and peace that your creation brings to us in nature. Let us be the shepherds that tend to the earth and take care of it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
The gospel reading today is from John chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. I invite you to open your ears and your hearts to the gospel of the Lord. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it up from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Come to us now, O Lord, and speak your word of truth to us, that we might be more than just hearers of the word, but also doers. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I am a city boy. I was born in Dayton, at Miami Valley Hospital, to be exact, and I spent my youth in the Dayton area. Most of my adult life has been spent in and around large cities: Los Angeles, Chicago, Indianapolis, Buffalo, Dayton. And so when I read passages like the 23rd Psalm and John chapter 10, this whole thing about sheep and shepherds is totally lost on me. I have about as much understanding of sheep herding as most people do of neurosurgery. I fit the description in verse 6 of our reading of those who did not understand what Jesus was saying to them. Perhaps you are in that boat as well. The people of Jesus' day, however, understood quite well the importance of sheep. Sheep represented the chief wealth and livelihood of a pastoral people. Sheep provided the people of the Bible with food to eat, milk for cheese, and wool for the weaving of clothing. Sheep served as a medium of exchange and had a central role in the Jewish sacrificial system. The sight of shepherds and sheep was something every Israelite knew well. Travel to the Middle East today and you will see Bedouin shepherds herding sheep and goats just as their ancestors have done for thousands of years. References to sheep and shepherds occur more than 500 times in the Bible. Numerous Old Testament texts speak of God as the shepherd who will care for and guide the sheep. David's most illustrious king, David, was a shepherd of his family's sheep. That's how he began his career. Perhaps his experience inspired the famous first line of Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." In Ezekiel 34, 15 and 16, God says, "I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will build up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak." This theme continues on into the New Testament. In Luke 2, the birth of Jesus was announced to who? A group of lowly shepherds. Mark's gospel in Mark 6 says that Jesus had compassion on the crowds because they were like sheep without a shepherd. In Luke 15, Jesus told the parable of the 99 sheep that are safe in the fold and the shepherd who then leaves them and goes in search of that one lost sheep. And in the book of Hebrews, at the very end of the book, there's a strikingly bold description of Jesus as the great shepherd of the sheep. So the 10th chapter of John is familiar terrain for the people of Jesus' day, even if it is strange and unfamiliar to most of us. One of the puzzling things about this text is the various images that are used. At Beaver Creek High School, my English composition teacher was Vivian Van Osdell. And Mrs. Van Osdell, when we were in junior year English composition class, taught us as we wrote our essays not to mix metaphors. Well, in John 10, Jesus mixes all kinds of metaphors. The shepherd, the sheepfold, the gate, the gatekeeper, the thieves, bandits, strangers, hired hands. The metaphors pile up until our heads are spinning. So how do we sort through all of these images of what and get to the essence and the heart of what Jesus is trying to say to us? Well, here it seems to me is the gist of this text. The sheep know the shepherd by the sound of his voice. This theme is repeated throughout the text. Verse 3 says, "The sheep hear the shepherd's voice, and the shepherd calls them by name and leads them out." Verse 4, "The sheep follow the shepherd because they know his voice." Verse 5, "The sheep will not follow a stranger." Why? "They run because they do not know the voice of strangers." Verse 8, "The sheep do not heed the voices of thieves and bandits." And then in verse 16, "There are other sheep who will listen to the shepherd's voice so that there will be one flock and one shepherd." So although most of us are probably quite far removed from the realities of sheep herding, we must ask ourselves, what does it mean for us to listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd? And I have several things in mind today. The first thing is it means listening to the voice of guidance. The voice of guidance. Jesus says, "He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Sheep and shepherds have a close relationship. And because of this, the intimacy of relationship, the sheep will follow the shepherd wherever she leads. Barbara Brown Taylor told of a conversation with a friend who grew up on a sheep farm in the Midwest. Did any of you grow up on a sheep farm? Nope. No sheep farm people here. Okay. So Barbara Brown Taylor told of this friend, and according to him, She writes, sheep are not dumb at all. It is the cattle ranchers who are responsible for spreading that ugly rumor, and all because sheep do not behave like cows. Cows are herded from the rear by hooting cowboys. But that will not work with sheep at all. Stand behind them making loud noises, and all they will do is run around behind you because they prefer to be led. You push cows, my friend said, but you lead sheep, and they will not go anywhere that someone else does not go first, namely their shepherd, who goes ahead of them to show them that everything is all right. One minister told of visiting the Holy Land, and after he and his wife had had lunch, they went to the roof of the restaurant where they had eaten to take in the view. And as they looked out across the landscape, they noticed a large area of pasture land. And then from two directions, they saw a couple of shepherds bringing their herds. And each of them had a herd of about 25 or 30 sheep. And the sheep went into the pasture to graze, and the two shepherds stood at the gate of the pasture, exchanging greetings, who knows, gossip, and smoking cigarettes. The minister and his wife continued to watch as the two shepherds conversed, and the sheep all grazed, these two herds of sheep all grazed in the pasture land. And then finally, one of the shepherds opened the gate, hollered something, and the heads of his sheep all popped up, and then he hollered something else, and so here they came, his sheep leaving the other shepherd's sheep and following their shepherd out of that pasture. And so the voice of the shepherd is the voice of guidance. Among the many crises of our world in recent years is a crisis of authority. As conflicting news reports, scientific studies, and expert voices have told us how to manage the challenges of COVID-19. You remember 4 years ago we were all in lockdown because of COVID-19, and pastors like Nancy and I had to figure out how to do online services. That's where we were 4 years ago because of COVID-19, and we had the experts all telling us, and all the different voices is telling us what we should do and how should we respond and how we should keep safe for one another and prevent the spread of this deadly disease. And then, of course, there's racism and there's global warming and there's political deadlock and there are all the other issues that we face. And we hear so many conflicting voices that many of us have grown weary or suspicious or even cynical. Whose guidance and leadership can we trust? Who will tell us the truth? Whose voice should we listen to? In John 10, the Gospel of John gives us a vision of leadership quite different from the one we're used to seeing in business and in politics. John describes a leader who lays down his life, not with words, but with costly actions. A leader who literally places his body in harm's way for the sake of those he leads. This is a leader with integrity and courage. A leader with skin in the game, you might say. A leader who is self-sacrificially good. Are we listening for the voice of that leader? Are we tuning in to the authentic voice of the Good Shepherd? When we tune into that voice, when we spend time daily in the disciplines of prayer and meditation, as we read and study Scripture, as we participate in worship and fellowship, then our hearts become open to hearing His voice so that we can receive His guidance for the difficult and challenging times of our lives. The second thing in this text is that listening to the voice of the shepherd means listening to the voice that provides courage and strength. Sheep face many threats: sheep rustlers, predators, disease and blight. The shepherd's job is to keep the flock together and protect the sheep from danger. He leads them into the sheepfold each night where they can rest safely. Sheepfolds in ancient Israel were basically an enclosure of stones piled up to form walls with briars on top and with an opening that served as the entrance. And so when Jesus says, "I am the gate," it calls to mind the fact that the shepherd would sleep at the entrance. And any rustlers or predators that went after the sheep would have to first go through the shepherd. A good shepherd can sense trouble, can sense potential trouble and can lead the sheep to a place of safety. Story is told that during World War I, some Turkish soldiers tried to steal a herd of sheep from a hillside near Jerusalem. The shepherd, who'd been sleeping, suddenly awakened to see his sheep being driven up the other side of the ravine. He could not hope to recapture his sheep by force single-handedly, but suddenly he had a thought. Standing up on his side of the ravine, he put his hands to his mouth and gave his own peculiar call, which he used every day to gather his sheep to him. The sheep heard the familiar sound, and for a moment they listened, and then, hearing the shepherd call out again, they all turned as one and rushed back down the ravine and up the other side toward the shepherd. It was quite impossible for those soldiers to stop that many sheep. And so even before the soldiers could make up their minds to pursue the sheep, the shepherd was able to lead them to a place of safety because they knew their master's voice. They knew the sound of his voice. Sheep know to whom they belong. They know their shepherd's voice, and that is the only voice they will follow. To be one of Jesus' sheep is not to be complacent, stupid, aimless, or helpless. To be a sheep of his flock is to be inquisitive, resilient, brave, adventurous. To be a sheep is to seek out companionship and community. It is to take advantage of the freedom and guidance that God offers us in order to walk in new and dangerous places, to come face to face with our enemies, to rest in grassy meadows and drink freely of still waters, to dare to enter through the gate that leads to life. The reason Psalm 23 is the most beloved psalm of all time is not just that it is comforting, not just that it is vividly beautiful, not just that we use it at funerals all the time, and the Lord knows I've used it at hundreds of funerals. It's also a song of faith and daring, of freedom and joy, of courage in the face of danger, and of victory in life. John 10 makes the same point. No matter how trapped we feel, fenced in and surrounded by wolves, no matter how confused we feel or worried for our future, no matter what threats lurk outside of our walls, when we hear the voice of Jesus, we know a door has been opened and we have a free invitation to enter in. Or perhaps we should say enter out, to exit our locked rooms and barren pastures and go through the gates of life into freedom, into new and lush pastures of possibility. This is the joy Jesus offers his followers. Freedom, ultimate freedom, not only to love our neighbors, but also freedom from our fears, our isolation, our worries, our hunger, our thirst, our boredom, our sins, even freedom from the fear of death itself. For there is no place that we go in life or in death where Jesus, the Good Shepherd, has not already been. Third, listening to the voice of the shepherd means hearing the voice that unites. In verse 16, Jesus says, "I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, one shepherd." Sheep were never meant to remain within the sheepfold. During the day, the shepherd would call them out to join the flocks grazing on the hillsides. Sometimes sheep from many folds might graze together as one flock. The good shepherd will lead his people out of the fold and into the world to join with sheep from other folds. Jesus' flock is made up of people from all walks of life, from various cultures and nations, and includes those of various preferences and skin colors and languages and traditions. But we are all unified by one thing. We are all followers of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. We are living in a time when people are divided in so many ways, by race, by religion, by culture and lifestyle, and especially by politics. Lord knows we're divided by that, aren't we? And there are many voices vying for our attention, calling for our loyalty. There are voices of indulgence that say that we can have whatever material thing we want, whenever we want it, no matter what it does to the environment or to the health of other people. There are the voices of intolerance that say that if we don't you don't think as I do or believe the way I believe or vote the way I vote, then you're not a true Christian. You're not a true patriot. You don't love your country. There are the voices of fear that tell us to be afraid of those who are different. Be afraid of the poor and immigrants, persons of other faiths and persons of other races and ethnicities. There are the voices that want us to think that they are the voice of the shepherd, but are in reality the voice of the thief Jesus speaks of in verse 10. Jesus is the good shepherd who calls his sheep, all his sheep, by name. He calls his Christian sheep, his Jewish sheep, and his Muslim sheep. He calls his conservative and liberal sheep. He calls his Republican, Democratic, and libertarian sheep. He calls his black, brown, and white sheep. He calls his rich sheep and his poor sheep. He calls his gay sheep and his straight sheep. He calls his sheep by name. He brings out all his own that there might be one flock and one shepherd. Finally, listening to the voice of the shepherd is the pathway to abundant life. In verse 9, we have another mixed metaphor as Jesus says, I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. In the hot, dry climate of Palestine, where no rain falls for 8 months of the year, finding good pasture for the flock is crucial. So the 23rd Psalm says, He makes me lie down in green pastures. And I've always wondered, why does the psalmist say, He makes me lie down? Is it because we tend to gallop right on through without ever stopping to take in the view? Is it because too many of us live in fear that God will not take care of us, so we have to grab at what we think we deserve, lest we go without? Perhaps you remember the news story about the woman who woke in the middle of the night to desperate cries of, Help! Help! She thought it might be her husband, so she looked over at him and realized he was sound asleep. And then she wondered if she might be dreaming, but then she heard it again. Help! Help! And so she got out of bed and headed down to the living room where the shouting got louder. Where are you? She called out. In the fireplace, came the reply. And there, dangling in the fireplace, was a would-be burglar stuck upside down. This is not as rare as you might think, by the way. I looked it up online. This does happen. And so here he was, stuck in the fireplace, and so she called 911, and the firefighters came, and eventually they freed this bumbling burglar, but only after removing some of the bricks and ripping out the mantle. And the best part of the story is what the woman did while she waited for help. She turned on the living room lights and sat down to record the sight with her video camera. And who knows what the two of them discussed at 2 o'clock in the morning. Perhaps she gave him a stern reading of John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. So friends, the abundant life Jesus promises us is not all that hard to find. It's a matter of walking through the right door. The life of which Jesus speaks, one that overflows with abundance, is a life that passes through the grace of God. Jesus warns that those who would sneak through, he warns of those who would sneak through other passageways, cheap grace, false security, and make-believe shepherds abound. But the one who said, I am the good shepherd, promises green pastures, still waters, abundant life. Jesus keeps his promises. He has already laid down his life for the sheep. Now it's our turn. Our good shepherd is calling, and his calling is trustworthy. We are always free to resist. We follow what we belong to. Is it Him? Amen. You may be seated. Just as Jesus has loved us, so we are called to love one another and to serve one another, and as a congregation to serve our community and our world. And so our morning offering is a tangible way that we rededicate our lives to Christ every Sunday, and we combine the resources of this one sheepfold to minister to the needs around us and in our world. And so let us now give generously as the ushers come forward. I want to share several of the concerns of our church family this morning, including a concern for our very faithful and loyal child care worker, Jenny Miller, at the death of her mother, June, on Friday morning. Please pray for Jenny and her family. We also want to continue to remember the family of Pat Custer, Jason Schenck and his family on the death of his uncle, Bill, and the congregation of David's United Church of Christ, our neighboring church just up in Kettering, as their senior pastor, the Reverend Dr. Brian Newcomb, died after an 8-year battle with kidney cancer. Brian and I got to know each other, and he was a wonderful source of support for my family and me at the time of my father's death in 2010, and he presided over my father's funeral. And he was a baseball fan, so when we found ourselves at a preaching conference together in Minneapolis a few years ago, we got to take in a Twins game together. And so he was a dedicated Cardinals fan. I was named after a Cardinals baseball player. And so Brian and I had a kinship around baseball, and what a wonderful minister he was for 40 years. So please, my members of my family are part of that congregation, my stepmother and her husband and my sister and her daughter. So please pray for the congregation of David's church today. Pearl S. has gotten discharged from rehab, and so has Jan H., so we're thankful for that. But we also had a prayer concern come in this week from one of the former ministers on our staff, Jackie Nowak, who shares that Gene M., former Christian Ed director here, you'll know who I'm talking about, many of you, is dealing with a serious illness. So let's remember Gene M. I invite us now to unite in a time of prayer. We will pray silently, followed by the pastoral prayer. Holy God, we come before you in prayer, lifting to you the joys and concerns, the hopes and dreams, the victories and defeats of our lives. May we be open to your voice in our lives, that we may see with new eyes and hear with new ears the new directions you would call us to go. Let your grace empower us as a people of faith to better serve you in the common places of our humanity, and to welcome you in the faces of your children whom we encounter on our journey through life. Just as the shepherd knows each of the sheep, help us to know and care for the individuals that are in particular need of your merciful grace. Hear our prayers for innocent families caught in the crosshairs of war, soldiers suffering from moral injury and PTSD, the sick and those who care for them, the grieving, the exhausted and the depressed, those in need of resurrection hope. Guide this congregation as it seeks to live into your call to proclaim your word, demonstrate your love and care for and nurture those in Centerville, Kettering, and Dayton who are most in need of your love and care, including those whom we lift to you now in the silence of this moment. Guide us, Lord of creation. Bless us, uplift us, and hold us, for we are your children, called to your purpose in your world. Open our eyes to the living Christ and our ears to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. As we pray for and work with the poor, the brokenhearted, the sick, and the bereaved, then will our lives be living witnesses to your resurrection, made whole by your love and care. In Christ's spirit we pray, and unite hearts and voices to pray the words he taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
And now may our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, preserve your soul and body unto eternal life. And may the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you and abide with you and those whom you love, now and forever. Amen. Amen.